Welcome. It's Toddcast time. Yep. It's Thursday. It's Toddcast time. Time to Toddcast.
So much is going on this.
Oh my gosh!
Into next week. Yeah. We're hitting our stride here for the.
It's a lot.
Summer,
for sure. Yeah. I guess firstly we can talk about how so this Saturday coming up we have let's go back to last weekend. Thank you for everybody who came out for the Marvel DC or Marvel Superheroes Magic pre-release at all the stores. Everybody got screwed with boxes or with bundles and commander sets. So, but they're coming, I promise. Now, let me prep you with, remember, this Saturday is our anniversary sale. We're celebrating 40 years of NDC. So every store will be running a sale on Saturday where most of the store is 20% off. Basically, it's TCGs and tournament entry is what most of the stores are excluding. There might be one or two other things depending on the store, but you're gonna have to go in to find out. But all of our dollar books will be 40 cents for one day only in the stores. Then next weekend, 4th of July weekend, if you don't really care about hanging out with your family or celebrating the 250th years of the U.S., you can come to the warehouse in Elwood, and we're opening on Friday at 8 o'clock at night, and we're staying open until Sunday at noon, consistently a 40-hour straight chunk. So it's 40 hours of 40-cent comics. All the dollar books in that building are going to be 40 cents a piece. It's going to be nuts. So
where are you putting the cots at?
So Jason's doing the first shift from like 8 to 10, I think. And then Bob's coming in from 10 to 6, and then Jason's coming back. And then he's doing 6 to 8, or 6 to noon, that giant stretch. But I'm going to probably be there from like 3 till 8, maybe? It really just depends on who's doing fireworks when. Because I don't want to get stranded, like, watching fireworks somewhere. Or get caught and screwed getting stuck in fireworks. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're very excited about these two sales. I've had a lot of people messaging about the warehouse sale. And we will be able to take credit cards at the warehouse starting this weekend, actually. I know. Crazy. We have some other cool stuff that we just announced today, or that we're announcing over this weekend. So the PSO, the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, got in touch with me, and we are giving away two tickets to Arcane, the League of Legends TV show scoring, with the guy that scored it on July 9th. It's a Thursday night. Unfortunately, I will not be attending that at all. I'll be already in Southern Indiana at that point. So, by the way, there's no Toddcast that night. How do you win said tickets? Well, first off, there's two things. One, you can use the code. It's Jinx something. Hold on, let me find it real quick.
I was gonna ask about that because Scott was talking about that, and I'm like, I know we have the agreement with Stage AE. I didn't realize we were also doing it with the Pittsburgh Orchestra.
All right. So the code, Jinx26, JINX26, and you get a percentage off your ticket if you want to go buy a ticket for the performance. That is pretty cool, I think. And then the other one, which is a week and a half later, are two nights, two tickets each for Danny Elfman. You'll see an NDC table at all three events. We'll be giving out some free comics at all three events. But if you want to win, so the Arcane one just started today. We're going to let that one run till about this time next week. And then we're going to, actually it'll be through next weekend, and then we'll probably run the Elfman for a week. Maybe both of them. I don't know. But anyway, the way to do it is all you have to do is comment, like, or share, the post. Each one of those gets you a entry, but it has to be from the original post on either our Facebook or our Instagram. If there is a tie for how many points everybody has, we'll put all those names in a hat and draw one out. This is how it's going to be. You know, if you want to put a picture of your favorite Arcane scene or actress or cosplayer or just character, or maybe you drew it, I don't care. Put it on there. It's cool. Like, you know, let's see what people like. Like, that's kind of the deal. It's a lot of fun. So, and then for Elfman, it's going to be the same thing. So you're going to be able to put your favorite, basically character from anything Danny Elfman has scored. So you have the two Batmans, the two original Batman movies with Michael Keaton. You have Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness. You have the Flash TV show from the 2000s. Nightmare Before Christmas. There's something else. Justice League. He did something with Justice League.
He did the Justice League, the animated series.
Yeah, I think so. So, and then he did a couple more too. And then obviously random pictures of Oingo Boingo work too. Yes. Bonus points if you use
bonus points school. If you have a tattoo.
Bonus points if you find the picture of them playing in the frat house on the movie Back to School with Dangerfield. Because that was my first experience with Oingo Boingo. They played Dead Man's Party, and I fell in love with that song, and I still to this day love that song. And I can almost play it. I haven't practiced it in a really long time. But I learned the guitar parts. I haven't learned the bass parts yet.
I was going to say, but me and the wife will be attending that event.
Yes. Yes. So, it's going to be actually, so it's a Saturday and a Sunday event. There's two dates for that. So that's going to be kind of cool. So it's, you know, good way for us to get out in the public. I think it's a great way. I look at, you know, art and creativity and music all as one big ball of goo that is just so tasty because it's art. I want everybody to enjoy all of that creativity and art and stuff. So if anyone's interested in that, that's how you enter. Like I said, right now the Arcane one's live. It's on our Facebook and Instagram. It's at New Dimension Comics, all one big word. And you can find it right on there, and you can go to town and sign up and try to win some tickets. So, I think it's going to be cool. I wish I could go to the Arcane one. I actually spent a little bit of today listening to the soundtrack, just even though I'm not going, just to check it out. And man, was it good! It is real good. and this is the gentleman who scored the Netflix show, mm-hmm. not the video game. So
yeah, it's I don't do a lot of the scoring for video games. I've only done it years ago. Blizzard with the World of Warcraft, because they actually had. They hired an entire symphony to do it.
Yeah.
And
symphony that did it. Yeah.
Yeah. But they actually did it at the one convention that I did attend to, the BlizzCon convention.
At BlizzCon.
And it was impressive. It's especially if you are a fan of any video game, the scoring is usually one of the highlights of any game. So.
Oh yeah, I really wanted to go to the Legend of Zelda one when they had that here, but I never got around to it. And then this weekend, I think they're doing Lord of the Rings, so Which is also
I'm sure
kind of
that'll
cool.
be fun. Yeah, I'm sure for
Yeah.
everyone there's that. But shall we move on to, do you
Yeah.
want to do pop culture stuff now or do you want to do that afterwards?
Oh, sure. Do it now.
Okay. What was it? Supergirl coming out this weekend.
I'm gonna try to catch it over the weekend while I'm in Clarion.
Yeah,
Depends on how
I
many
saw
people
Sarah
stick around.
Spector already saw it because she posted on
Yeah.
Facebook in her Supergirl outfit. I
I
think
thought
she even
her,
gave
you
a
know what, and I thought
spoiler-free
her
review.
spoiler-free review was very good because it was, I liked it, but it wasn't the book. Like
Yeah.
the liberties they took, she questioned why they took some of them, but she enjoyed it, just not as much as she would have had it been directly from the book, is
Yeah.
basically the vibe I got from that. And you know, I'm a big component of go see it. So,
Yeah.
you know, stop listening to
Before
critics,
you
just
judge
go
it,
see it. Yeah.
yeah.
So
Sticking on the DC news, what the there is the announcement that they are going to do an absolute Batman animated series or movie. I'm not sure which. I think
It
it'd
looked
be
like an
could either.
animated movie, I think, is what it was supposed to
Okay.
be.
Which that's fine because DC usually knocks it out with the animated stuff. It's very few and far between DC animated stuff that I dislike. We also today they released the trailer for Nightfall, which I'm super pumped about because they showed scenes very this is where I miss Kevin Conroy's voice because I would he would have been perfect for this. Like his voiceover would have been magnificent.
Right.
But we get to see Azrael in an animated series. I'm excited about that because I don't think he's
That's
been in
cool.
animated anything.
I
I know
think
he's
he
been in live
has.
action and the video game, but never
When was he in live action?
the Gotham.
Oh.
It wasn't that great. The costume looked awesome, but the character was garbage. And it wasn't John Paul. It was someone doing the Azrael character that was not John Paul.
Hold on. Here we go. Animated verse. No, you're right. This will be the first time he's actually been animated. Animated, but he was in the Adventures Continues, which is the comics that continues the Batman the Animated Series.
No, that does that doesn't surprise me, but I'm excited for it because you know that is definitely one of the Batman storylines that kind of hooked me into DC Comics a little bit, especially like the Azrael character. You and I are both big Azrael fans, so I can't wait.
Both of them.
I think
I
it's
actually
they said
like both of them. So.
it's going to be a three-part series, which that means they're going to do Nightfall, Night Quest, and what's the other one? It's Nightfall, Night Quest, Night something. I just forget what the other one
I
is.
also am blanking right now.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But it's going to be awesome because DC is really good at doing those multi-part movies. I think this is going to be fun. So looking forward to it on that.
So when they did him in Gotham, did they use the Michael version, or did they use the Jean-Paul Valley version?
The Michael version, like it's him with the cross on his chest,
Oh,
like
so
he looks
yeah,
like
so the
something
Michael
out
version.
of, yeah, he looks
Right,
like
I guess,
something out of the
but yeah.
Crusades.
But my question is, Are they calling him John Paul Valley, or are they calling him Michael?
It's not a John Paul. It was
They
not
just do they
John.
even say his name? They just call him Azrael the whole time?
Well, it's been a long time because it's been a while since I watched Gotham. If I remember right, it was all about the whole Saint Dumas
Yeah.
religious sect, and he was just the enforcer. Basically, they kind of relegated him to like,
A thug?
like
Like
the
a
he was basically Bane in the fourth Batman movie, where all
Oh.
he was the guy with muscles, and
Yeah.
he did the strong man thing. That's it was not he was not a big impact. He looked awesome, but it was just
Because I
crappy
haven't
version
watched
of it.
I never watched that far into it, but now I'm like, I need to, I guess, watch just this episode.
I think
Although,
it
I
was
mean, I could
just
watch the whole show, but I don't really know that I want to
yeah.
watch it all. Because, like, I watched the first, I think, season, and I was like, this is all about the kids. I don't care about the kids. So.
Yeah. Well, when he starts getting they start getting into that preteen years and stuff, that's when you start seeing the different villains start to slowly
Okay,
evolve.
maybe I'll give it a rewatch.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It
We'll see.
it's definitely you have to kind of skip
I
through.
mean, I am like 3 or 4 episodes away from finishing my Battlestar Galactica rewatch. So, which is fantastic, by the way. Still holds up. Sci-Fi Channel version from like 2006, 2006, I want to say. Man, it's so good. Like, Katie Sackhoff is Starbuck, amazeballs.
Was gonna
Edward
say
James
my
Olmos,
all
like,
I've been rewatching is original Law and Order.
oh my God,
Just been and it's the
SVU or
sad part
nothing,
is
buddy.
the sad part is all the cases and stuff so relevant to current events right now. It's not even funny. Like some of them are like spot on, and you're like, wow. It's like, and this is 1993, 1994, and 1995, and
Hey, remind me next week to not poke Grant too hard about the his post about Morgan Wallen. For those of you who want to see what I'm talking about, go find Grant Lankard's social media, because he's a guy that works on concerts when he's not typing up awesome comics, and you should really read what he had to say about that. It was pretty spot on in my opinion. But anyway, all right, you got anything else? Can we talk comics? Come on.
We got two. Well, we have two deaths that they're pop culture related to a degree. Well, one is and one isn't. One was just fascinating. First one is Magic the Gathering. We lost Ron Spears. He
Yeah.
passed away. Legendary artist. Worked on some of the best cards in the game at the time. His Achroma is one of the most beautifully designed angels you'll ever see in the game. We're really gonna miss that, like his creativity, his style. You'll never re replicate that again. I don't care how much AI like increases, you're never going to get that kind of creativity
Right.
out of that. And this one is the fascinating one. Bridget Hickey, Ireland's oldest living person, 108.
Okay, that's pretty long, yeah.
Yeah,
Especially for an
it's
Irish
in
lady. I mean,
Yeah, especially like up in the European there, like that's
yeah. Plus, I
impressive.
meant because, like, they're like way up there. Like,
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah, yeah. The cold weather, the nastiness. It's
Yeah.
love. I hear Ireland is pretty like nice during the summer months, but I that would be something maybe if I ever retire and have money when I retire and I can go travel, if that ever happens. Fingers
I know the
crossed.
feeling.
But it just stuck out. I'm like 108. I'm like, go you know?
Well, I guess we're going to talk celebrity deaths. Clive Davis died this week.
He did not pop
He
up on the web.
was one of the most influential music producers on the planet. He found Michael
Okay, yes, he
Jackson.
did.
He found, I think, Madonna, like all kinds of crazy good guys.
Okay, I did see that. I wasn't sure if that was he would have counted just because he was just a producer, but the fact that he helped all those artists,
Oh yeah, well
it
the producer is a producer is more than just like a dude sitting in an office. Like they
Well,
actually go
I'm
in and
assuming a music producer is more important than a movie producer. Movie
well,
producer is basically a glorified
yeah.
gopher.
Yeah. So you have to think of a music producer more like a movie director, right?
Okay.
Because they're actually in the booth, they're actually helping make the pop hits. They're, giving all kinds of things they need to do better, stuff like that. So, all right.
But yeah, that was it for that.
Okay. Then let's move on to comics. I actually read all three books this week. How about that? And I get to
Yes.
start. Yay.
Nice.
All right. So, whoa, made that too big. Superman, man, father of tomorrow. Number two. I love this cover, by the way, because it's like Jor-El just like making like a little laser, shooting lasers into, some kind of city. We don't know whose city, but it's kind of fun. So, all right. So this starts out with, hold on, let me make sure I get the. Oh, so it's Atomic Skull, Livewire, Clarion, and Silver Banshee. Like robbed a place. They used Clarion's magic, and he half their money disappeared because it had it that was the price they had to pay for the magic. So you get into a big fight with Clarion's little cat that turns into a giant beast, and eventually, he loses, and Super or Jor-El's the guy. And this book talks a lot about Lois and Lex's relationship. So Lex leaves LexCorp to help do Superman Corps, I guess. And he talks about how everybody's just reverse engineering all the stuff that he made to help them and turn it into weapons. And Lois is like, "Well, this is kind of ridiculous, but I'll look into it." So she goes and sees her dad. And General Lane is running Stormwatch. And he will not deny or confirm that they're doing said things for the government. And then there's like a nice montage of like Superman helping things out. Like he beats Starro in Coast City. He helps a guy in Central City beat cancer. In Smallville, he makes robots that'll lift bales of hay. Metropolis, he's like beating the shit out of Mongol. And he's having a party, and the Justice League is there, but it's like, so it's it or the Atom, Dr. Hoshi, Dr. Light, Mr. Terrific, and Barry Allen Flash, and they're just all kind of basically being like, well, what do we need to do if he can just do everything? And like how people are just like the whole thing just is a lot of talk about reverse engineering. And then Lex turns on everybody and unleashes the parasite. The parasite comes out and tries to beat him up. And this is the best General Lane freaking line in the book. Son, if you're gonna if you campaign sorry, son, if you keep campaigning for an ass whooping, you're gonna get elected. I just thought that was a great line. Superman beats the shit out of him. Let's see what else. They basically, they put an inhibitor chip in Parasite, and then Superman kind of loses his shit on Lex about reverse engineering stuff and doing non-lethal weapons and stuff like that, and you know, he's just very torn as to how do I get people to do the right thing. And so he's going to use his ship to power the planet because it has that kind of power in it. Meanwhile, like, Lex is meeting with John Constantine, and he's like, are you willing to make a deal? And what's the price you're willing to pay to get after him? So it was kind of cool. The only other thing I thought was cool in here was there was an ad for Stewart Fails to Save the Universe, which, if you know what that is, it's a Big Bang offshoot show. But the reason I bring that up is because when I took my job, my wife said to me, so you're going to manage a comic store? And I said, yeah. And she said, well, at least you're cuter than Stewart. So, all right, for a song, I'm going to use, because of like, it kept talking about the weapons and stuff like that, I'm going to use Zombie by the Cranberries, because, you know, I'm just going to repeat everything you did, so, but it's fine.
All right, we have Corpsonite number 3. All right, now this leaves off where we did last week, because I read number 2 and that was from a couple weeks ago. So here's the one that just came out this week, number 3. CK, Foy, and Gabriel arrive on the outskirts of a small village in France, kind of catching their breath. Gabriel starts making like dinner or food. He starts asking questions, which I feel like this is going to be the theme of the book of, well, why isn't your dad eating? Why isn't he talking? And Foy kind of just trying to cover for him, you know? Mm-hmm. And Gabriel recognizes the arrows that they were pulling out of her dad as his grandfather's arrows. He also, as he made dinner, he ends up poisoning Foy. So she ends up being poisoned. The knight, of course, fights off Gabriel when he goes and runs away. Corpse Knight, this is where they show that he's not just a zombie that grunts and fights. He had the wherewithal to take Foy to an apothecary to get the antidote for this poison. Now the apothecary was like asking him questions, and all he can do is kind of just grunt. He's like, like, so she's sitting there going, okay, they communicated enough to realize that the daughter was poisoned. So she's about to give him the antidote and he's reaching for it. And then she notices his hand has black spots on it and everything. And she's like, oh no, it's back, the Black Death. So of course she's freaking out. She screams, a guard comes in, and you know, she's like, this man's sick, his daughter's sick, they might have the plague. And Corpse Knight grabs Foy, runs back into the woods there, gets away from this crowd. They get back to the path and they're kind of working their way around the forest. They run into a couple of nuns who happen to need aid. Their wagon tipped over, then their horse is stuck. Corpse Knight actually helps them, and they said, because you helped us, we can help your daughter, you know. So the daughter has a dream of her mother as a zombie. She wakes up cured, and then the nun, the one of the nuns was, who was, I guess she's the head nun or whatnot, is telling her that Joan of Arc is not too far away, and they're close to that meeting. But she's like, you may have to be careful though, because your father has many enemies. And we get a little bit of backstory about Foy's father that we did not know before the story even started, that he was part of the wardens, which we got referred to in last issue, that he basically, it was a kind of the heavy-handed knights of the Mad King, Charles, and her father was a part of that faction. And she can tell because of the sword that he carries with him. And Foy, of course, is like, well, he's just a farmer. He would never do that. You know, he's a kind man, this, that, and the other. And he's actually being very friendly towards the other kids in, like, where the nuns are at, and he's helping like feed the kids with apples and stuff. So it's, he's definitely like not your average zombie in this. We're getting a little bit more humanity out of it. But I really am enjoying this book. I have the sneaking suspicions that the entire story is just going to be a giant, sad sack, like sad story, like across the board. Like things are going to go completely wrong more than they already have. And since they were talking about Black Death, I'm going to use the song Black Death by the 80s metal band Gravedigger.
Nice deep cut. I
Yeah,
love
I
it.
actually went, I got, as I was doing my writing for like the summary here, I'm like, I'm at work, I'm like, I'm going to type in songs now and then write them with my summary. That way I don't have to sit there and play around on Google while we're doing the podcast.
Right.
So I thought ahead a little bit. Oh, I knew you were going to
Oh,
do
okay.
this one.
Oh, this was so good. So, this issue of Swamp Thing starts out with John Constantine and the Spectre having pints of Guinness together, hanging out at a bar in London,
Because of course.
and Swamp Thing is he went all the way back to the Source Wall. So, if you guys remember, the Source Wall in DC Comics was something that they tried to get Metatron to get to so he could power his chair so that he could bring Darkseid to just destroy everything. And then the Green Lanterns basically found the Source Wall, and there's a whole bunch of stuff with that. So, anyway, this is Swamp Thing looking at the Source Wall, but this Source Wall is basically a giant block that has a big flaming hand that keeps writing things to him. So he basically talks to him about how he wants to be reincarnated so that he can see his wife and daughter. So while the Source Wall is doing that, Arcane is literally just ahead at this point, because this book takes place right after the Watch, or not after Watchmen, after Sandman. So if you remember that, like, Arcane shows up in Sandman to help steal the jewel from the Justice League. So after that happens, like, he basically gets his head cut off, and now he's in hell and he's just ahead. So he convinces one of the demons to basically throw him in a pit and make him a giant body and have him come back. Meanwhile, Constantine is trying to figure out a way to help Swamp Thing and figure out where the hell he is. So he goes to Arcane's sister, and then there he end up down like in his dungeon. There's a moment where you see Darkseid and Metatron talking about the chair. Then Swamp Thing is reincarnated as a little tiny plant on the side of a giant mountain. This is, though, like in almost like DC prehistoric times, right? So, you know, it takes him years to finally grow an eye. Yggdrasil is a tree that grew before him, and it broke, like, it gets struck by lightning and it falls apart. And then, Anthro, do you remember Anthro? The book Anthro, the DC Silver Age book Anthro?
Vaguely.
Like, where he's like a, almost like a Conan ripoff, but not really. And like,
Yeah.
Okay. So he's actually climbing on Swamp Thing and like kind of befriends him as a treat, even though he doesn't know that he's like actually Swamp Thing. His village gets attacked. Swamp Thing helps fight the Rock Riders, which I thought was kind of cool. Cause they're like, oh yeah, the giant Eagle Riders. That's awesome. But he catches on fire and falls to the earth. But Anthro, like, picks up, like, this big piece of, like, I guess, amber that was inside him. Then it cuts to, Abigail, Arcane, you know, still in the birthing of their child. And is just like, I don't know why we even did this. Like, it's just really, really funny. And, you know, somebody ends up at the door. And they're like, it has to be Alec. Alec, is that you? And you go out, and it's just Arcane in this giant fiery body. And it's just awesome. And I love every second of it. Oh, man. I'm going to use... Oh, my God. Okay. Because there's so much fire in this. I'm going to use Through the Fire and Flames by Dragon Force. Because
I thought you
there's
were
so much fire
from Johnny Cash.
Well, no, I actually was thinking Fire, Water, Burn by Bloodhound Gang. Like that, because then, you know, we could just be singing, like, you know, Let This Motherfucker Burn. But that's pretty much... what I loved about it. It was a great book. If you like old Swamp Thing, this is a great, you know, story that's actually coming out that was originally a Vertigo book. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
All right, we got Diablo number 3. We pick up where we left off from number 2, where Darius and the rogue are in the desert, and basically he's, you know, he's upset because he just got banished. Of course, he's taking it out on the rogue. And they start, you know, talking about, you know, how he never believed in the prophet before, but then when he did, he's like, it's not like the tribe where, you know, he had like his loyalty to the tribe, and he's like, well, tribe's different because it's family. And we get a little bit of an origin story of where he came from. But as they're talking, they get attacked by Fallen. For those who don't know what Fallen are, they are the little demons that sit there and go, and they jump around. They're usually red, but, you know, the higher you go in Diablo, the different colors it becomes, and they're harder to kill. And, of course, they don't have any weapons on them or anything, so they escape by hiding and dodging. They end up falling into an underground cave, which, again, if you've ever played Diablo, there are underground caves that you can go into and kill monsters and find treasure, and that's exactly what happens here. In the underground cave, they find undead. They beat the undead. They find a couple of chests with some weapons and some armor, so they put those on. They get back up to the surface, where the Fallen that were wait that were that attacked them were waiting for them. So they finished off the fallen, and they head back towards the camp. And even though Darius is banished, he said, "I can protect them from afar." Well, when they get there, they notice that everybody's on the ground. So they got closer to the camp, and everybody in the camp is slaughtered, like killed, like horrifically. And the rogue and Darius are now on a mission to find out what happened and who did this. And that is the end of that. And I found a really good song to go with this one. One Man Stands by Anthrax.
Ooh, good cut. Ooh,
I was on the
nice.
ball this I was on the ball today with
Nice.
picking out the stuff.
That's awesome. That was a good one. That was a real good one.
Yeah.
All right, my next book is Halo and, or sorry, Hornsby and Halo, number 14 from Ghost Machine, Tomasi. I could not say. Sengeberg, Pete Sengeberg is the other creator. So this starts off with Halo and Hornsby in their human forms of teenage kids being like, why is Tommy like coming through and throwing $100 bills at everybody and doing stuff? And so he's in Warwick, New York, and he's got his. He's shooting t-shirts, he's doing all kinds of stuff in the Hope and Hope and something else parade. Hope and Fun Wonderland Tour is what he's calling it. So his robot butler, is like, these are like a 97% match, but there's like a weird blur, so they send drones to follow them, and you find out that Rose Hornsby and Zach Halo are the two kids. So Hornsby, who's the demon, lives with this family. They're both adopted. She lives with this family who treats her amazingly well and is like super like uplifting and stuff like that, while Zach Halo works or lives with this family of morticians in a funeral home, and they treat him like crap. So it's there's like some there's a very good like understanding their parental relationship moments here. And then at night they sneak out, and Tommy and his robot are like, what's going on? Where are they going? So they follow him to this cave. You see someone wrote unbelievable on the wall, and Tommy thinks that it's his parents. Well, the robot's like, we gotta go now. So Sterling takes this hit of two demons flying out. They grab Tommy as he flies away. Halo and Hornsby run after or fly after him, beat the demons, and then they have a conversation about why he's there. He's like, well, my parent look for my parents and blah blah blah. And like everywhere they went, they noted all the unbelievables, and you were one of them. And he's like, "Do you know if they're dead or alive, or in heaven or hell?" Is what he wants to know. And they're like, "Well, there's only really one place we can tell. So we're gonna go to purgatory." And he's like, "Oh, sweet, let's go." He's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" And they like put a blindfold on him. And Hornsby says, "Being only human, if you saw purgatory, you'd go mad." And he just goes, make it tight then. Nice and tight. And I'm just like, ridiculous. So they go to purgatory, and they meet with basically like the what the hell's his name? Cato, who is basically like the ferryman, right? And he's like, nope, they're not in heaven or in hell or in purgatory. And because Tommy's like, please answer me. He's like, refrain from touching me, Otherwise, you will find yourself turned into a pile of salt. And I thought that was another really great line in this this book. So anyway, he tells them that they're not dead. So they come back out. Kids turn normal. They find that there is a military drone following him. So they all get in Tommy's, I guess, like, RV. And they go to an old storage bunker that his parents had. And they give it to Halo and Hornsby. And it's, like, totally loaded. It's got, like, a pinball machine, like, all kinds of cool stuff. And then they're like, well, I guess we should go and find the next people. So they ride out with them, and they show up in Olympia, Washington, and they answer the door, and it's the Rockefeller's house, and he goes, "Hi, I'm Tommy Townsend III. I'm looking for a family from the future." And I'm just like, that's awesome. The other cool part is there's this huge map at the end, and where the Holiday Heights are is Harmony, PA, which is just north of Pittsburgh. Yeah. I was talking with one of my friends who works at Ghost Machine, and I was saying, like, you know, if Tomasi or Jeff ever want to come up and hang out, we can take them to the Welcome to Harmony sign and be like, we're hunting unbelievables, which I might actually do anyway. Like, I might just make a video of that because I think it'd be funny, wearing, like, one of my Ghost Machine shirts. Like, I think it'd be fun. My song pick for this is Black Sabbath, Heaven and Hell. Cause
there you go. Yeah.
It doesn't really get much better than that, right? Like, more on the nose. So, but it was a lot of fun. It makes me actually want to go back and read Hornsby and Halo. I didn't really like the first issue super much, but, usually Tomasi's like a 2 or 3 book guy to get really into it. And what I really liked this book, so I might go back and pick up the rest, or at least the trades. So,
all right, we got Wolverine number 22.
My claws, my bow, these old bones. Sorry, I had to.
I know. Nightcrawler and Logan teleport to a hospital in the Bronx, because this is right after, like, they figure out that Wolverine's not healing like he is supposed to. Wolverine and Nightcrawler have a talk. Wolverine says, tells Nightcrawler to go ahead and leave, and he'll stay, wait for the doc. Dr. Rains comes in, and we find out Sunspot, like, because he inherited his parents' money and everything in the continuity here. He provided, like, a whole ton of money to the hospitals for mutants. So Logan gets scanned and looked at. They're finding that there is something going on with his healing factor to the point where it's almost like he's a normal human being. Like, it's super, super slow. And the doc's like, I got to do more tests and whatnot. But she said, someone's doing this on purpose, though. This isn't like the last time where your body, this is a natural thing with your body. Someone is doing this to you. And Wolverine has the only thing in his mind was something having to do with Department H, because he has been fighting with Department H in this part of the series, between Adamantine and Department H. He's been battling them both. But as he goes to find, like, the nearest, I guess, Canadian embassy, he gets ambushed by Taskmaster. And, of course, him and Taskmaster are fighting. Well, Wolverine's not in the best condition, but Taskmaster is using moves that Wolverine recognizes because he pretty much fought everybody. He fought like Taskmaster threw an attack from Cap at him, through Iron Fists, to Daredevil. Wolverine withstood it all. He sliced into Taskmaster, and then the Doc Reyes is like talking to him through an earpiece saying, someone is giving your healing factor to someone else. And we find out that someone else is Taskmaster because the gashes in his chest after this fight just heal automatically, like Wolverine's. So Department H gave Taskmaster Logan's healing factor. And that is the end of the book. It's just him battling Taskmaster for most of the book. So this is an interesting swerve. I'm kind of cool with it. Even though this is like the third time that he's lost his healing factor, this one's the more intriguing one of it's not his body naturally losing it, it's actually somebody siphoning his healing factor. And I chose for this one, this one's an interesting one, to see if you get the underlining meaning, whiskey in the jar, and I'm going with the Metallica version of this.
What? Come on, you don't like the original Thin Lizzy one?
I don't mind it, but the Metallica one is a little bit more fun.
Don't think you're not wrong. It's at least a little
That was the
cleaner.
last. That was the last time I listened to Metallica on the regular. We'll put it that way. So
That's fair. That's
we'll go
fair.
with that. But yeah,
I
it's an
actually saw how
interesting.
that actually ended up as like number five on like a top 100 metal remakes list from somebody.
Yeah, I can see
So,
that.
all right.
I
So
can
let's
see
see
that.
this Skeletor mask.
So the wife went out to with the went to visit her child in Ohio, and she found this at the local GameStop, and it is a mask that straps in. It actually has like a chin strap, a place for your nose, and everything, so it
Oh, wow.
actually fits your face. But my favorite part is,
Nice.
and I guess there's like 10 other sayings he goes to with too. And I'm
Is
like,
one of them
okay.
ha are any of them shut up, you boob? 'Cause
No.
ah, oh,
No,
damn it.
that would have been the best part. And
Oh, that'd have been
there's no
awesome.
yeah, there's no near
Oh,
either.
what? No
So
mirror.
oh,
Meh.
yeah. And then I figure I'll show this off since I bought this day is we picked up a collection. Try to get the glare off.
There you go.
There we go. And that gentleman had some interesting books. This is the one that caught my eye because even though I have this issue and it is signed by everybody else that was involved in Sandman, I was missing Neil Gaiman's signature. So here is official Neil Gaiman signature, and that's this one right here. So
I forget who the other person that signed it.
it is Chris,
Bocciolo.
yeah, Bocciolo, yeah, the actual artist,
I don't think you
the
had him
cover artist,
either.
I think.
So that's
So
kind of it.
these are probably like the last
Oh,
two
he's not the
signatures
cover
I'm.
artist.
He's not.
That's definitely not a Bocciolo cover. No.
Then he's the interior cover artist then.
Hold on. I can tell
Interior
you who did
artist.
what. Maybe. That was Death One, right?
Yeah. Well, this is the High Cost of Living series.
Right, which is what they did as the last episode in season one
Yes.
of Sandman. See. Me, 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 me. Because that the covers are not by him. Where the fudge? Oh, Dave McKean.
Dave McKean. Okay.
I thought it was McKean. Because he did pretty much all of the Sandman.
Yeah. So, like I said, I think the only one that I don't have and anybody involved in the Sandman series is Sam Keith, which that's going to be very
impossible
difficult
now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you have to find a third one that's signed by Sam Keith somehow, even though he didn't work on that book. So
no, but he was involved in the Sandman, and it was definitely like, oh, I was like, God damn.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, that's pretty much all we got for this week. Don't forget to come out for some cool stuff on Saturday. Also, you spend $40, you get a free NDC koozie. And if you spend $40, you get your name to put in for our friends at Dave & Buster's gave us a $50 play card, not a gift card, a play card. So you can just literally go in and play games for $50 worth of time. So each store has one to give away. So I don't care if you win both, like more than one store, sure. Like, thanks for coming out. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Customers who do that, John.
Yeah. If you're at the warehouse and you spend over $40 this weekend, we do have some there as well. We'll probably have some leftovers set up there for the 4th of July weekend, too. So, that's pretty much it, guys. Thanks for watching. Remember to support your local comic shop. If it's us, even cooler. And we will catch everybody next week. And, we'll be joined with our friends from Comicsburg to talk about another Kickstarter they got going on. So, have a good night.
All right, guys.